Well, Pastor, I do thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. What a blessing it has been already. We were talking at lunch, and you know, the Lord has always blessed us. I mean, we've always, I feel like, been blessed, and you know, it's a humbling experience to be the one that has to receive the blessings. You know. We've always been givers, and you know, now we're missionaries. We have to be the receivers, and if you've never been in that position, it changes you. It puts a different perspective on things, and it's just so we're so thankful for your all's generosity to us, and we're just so thankful for that. Because I mean, You're providing for us. You're taking care of our family. And we genuinely thank you for that. So, it was a great day. We got fed up. I mean, like, real good. Had some coffee, had some fellowship time. And Pastor asked me, he said, "Hey," he said, you want to preach tonight?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, usually I preach two messages and I already did them today." So, so I had to kind of go through some of the stuff that I had and find one and prayed. And, you know, I think I've preached this twice, but it was a long time ago. So, this may be a little bit more formal, versus how things were this morning. So, but what an awesome opportunity it is to be here, and thank you all for just being so kind to us, being generous to our kids, and I think my wife is really excited about what something that she got today. We don't have those maple cookies in the States, the gluten-free maple cookies from Walmart or Sam's Club or something. I don't know what they are, but what's that? I don't know where they're from, but so we got some in a gift bag that Sister Pastor gave to us, and she's like, "Oh man, these are awesome! I got to get some before we leave." And then somebody came in today with a whole bag full, so she was like, "Are you serious?" So I know she's tickled plum to death, and that's one of them Kentucky, yeah, tickled plum to death, yeah. So, but what a great time to be here. So if you would, tonight we're going to be, I was in Luke this morning, we're going to be in Luke again. I'm not preaching the same message, I promise. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that this message is going to be for somebody in here. I don't know who, I don't know what you have going on in your life. I don't know what God is dealing with you about. But if you're growing, then I'm sure God is speaking to you at some capacity. And tonight I do have a title for the message, and it's called Leaving All for Christ. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to start in verse 25, and we're going to go down through 33. And if you would, follow along with me. Luke 14, 25. It says, "And there went a great multitude, or there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And for whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you just meet with us tonight. God, I do pray that you use me. Lord, I do pray that the message tonight would not be in vain. God, I pray that it be all for your honor and your glory. And God, I do pray that if there's anything that stands in the way between you and I right now, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of those things. God, make me clean and help me to be a usable vessel. God, I thank you and I love you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this passage, and I've preached it just a couple times. And the first time, God used it in such a way that I almost swore that I'd never use it again. But I spent much time in prayer preparing and much time in prayer just praying about the people that would hear it. And it's an amazing passage if you think about what's in these few little verses. The first thing that I want to look at is a love-hate relationship. The Bible says here, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is not telling us that we're supposed to hate everybody in our family. That's not what he's saying. Obviously, we know that. But I want you to think for just a second about the relationships that you have with everybody mentioned here. You think about your father, okay? I know I mentioned this morning that my father, you know, I didn't have that close of a relationship with him. But if I were to have a relationship with a father that I desire to have, it would be the type of relationship that I long to be the father to my kids. I want to be the person that they can look up to. I want to be, and I long for that relationship to have somebody that they can go to for advice, for wisdom. You think about that relationship that you have with your father. If you have a good relationship with your father, the one that you have, it should be amazing. It should be somebody that you should long to be like. Think about the relationship with your mother. I see people all the time that have great relationships with their moms. That, you know, their mom, I mean, birthed them, and they have. I know my Luke's relationship with my wife is unlike Levi and Lily. He's the youngest, and they just, for some reason, they have a more special bond. And I know that those of you mothers that have a relationship with a great relationship with your children, that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to think about that relationship. Think about my wife. She's my co-laborer. We are so different, but yet we help each other so much. Like, as far as me being able to write something, you can forget it, but she's the writer. At organizing, I may do a little bit better on that end of something, but she and I, don't look at me like that. She and I work together well. And I think about our relationship, I think about the ups and downs that we have, but then I also think about those things that we've gone through that has cemented our love together as one. A bond that could never be broken. I think about that. I think about my children. I think about the relationship and the love that I have for them. Think about, I would give my life for my children. I would give anything and everything for my children. And I know you parents would do the exact same. There's nothing that you wouldn't do to make sure that your kids didn't have clothes on their back or food on the table to provide for them. Think about that love. Now, I have a brother, and when he and I were close, when I was younger, he always lived up with my dad. And I think about that. He was the one that if I didn't want to tell my dad or my mom something, I'd go to him. I'd be like, man, I got this crush on this girl, or I did bad in school, or something to that effect, you know, something like that. He's the person that you can confide in, that will listen to you, that will give you that little bit of advice that you need that's not going to mom and dad. You know, those of you that have an awesome you know, brother and sister or sibling relationship know exactly what I mean. And I think about myself. I think about myself that, you know, I was so selfish for so much of my life because everything revolved around me all the time. Really up until, I mean, even after I got saved, everything still revolved around me. And it was up until really we had kids and still until I started to truly understand the concept of humbling myself and giving myself for somebody else. But the Bible says here that if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, you know what this is telling us? All the love that we have for our fathers, for our mothers, for our children, if you compare that to the love that we're supposed to have for Jesus Christ, the love that we have here on earth should be compared as hating this group of people, your mother and your father and your children, to the love that we should have for Jesus Christ. That's how much we should love Jesus Christ, is we should love Him so much that all these other relationships, all these other things that we have should look like hate. Boy, that's a whole big love if you think about everything that I just mentioned, because there's nothing that I could imagine as far as loving something or somebody so much that the love that I have for my kids looks like hate. It's hard for me to comprehend that, but you know, God doesn't want you to hate your family. He wants you to love Him so much that the love that you have for everyone else looks like hate. You know, the problem that we face today is it's a love problem. It's a love problem that we have. If we go over to John 21, you can turn there or you don't have to, but it's John 21, 15 through 17. I'm going to read this very briefly. I'll give you a second to get there. John 21, 15 says, "And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Well, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. You see, when Peter backslid and he quit the ministry and said, I'm going fishing, and the six others went with him, Jesus came to the scene and didn't say, Peter, what made you quit the ministry? He knew what made him quit. He didn't say, Why did you backslide? Why did you curse and deny me? He knew why. He went right to the root of the problem. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He knew why Peter was doing what he was doing, and it was a love problem. Why do you think people don't give to missions? It's because they don't love God. Why do you think people love money? They love material things. They love themselves. It's because they have a love problem and they don't love God like they should. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we really love God with all of our hearts, then everything in our lives would really fall into place. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that it's going to be easy. The Bible talks about there being many hills. We'll be on the mountaintop and then we'll be on the valley. But if you truly love God with all your heart, and if you're truly sold out for what God has for you, then you know that without a shadow of a doubt, where you are is where you're supposed to be. You don't curse God. You don't deny God. You don't say, well, God, you haven't provided for me. You realize there's prerequisites for God blessing you. You want God to bless you financially? You better tithe. You want God to do a mighty work in your life, then you're going to have a little bit of faith. You know, today, most people don't have a whole lot of faith because we have our budgets, we have our schedules, we have all the things that we do on a regular basis, and oftentimes, faith isn't part of that. It's those times where we have to step out in faith. It's those times where God speaks to our hearts and doing things that don't make any sense to us whatsoever. Those are the faith-building moments in our lives that God wants to use. But oftentimes, because we don't love God enough, we're comfortable where we're at. And we don't want to do what God tells us to do. You know, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, was asked a question. Mr. Taylor, do you think one requirement for missionaries is to love souls? Hudson Taylor thought for a moment, then answered, No, the one requirement for missionaries is that they love God. If they love God, they'll love souls. The love for God can break your addiction. The love for God can fix your family. A love for God can resolve your financial hardships. He'll give you help. And if you die to self, the love for God will make you a soul winner. But the Lord our God, He can turn you into a disciple. The second thing that I want to look at is a one direction decision. Have you ever made a decision before with no turning back? With not being able to turn around and say, well, that's one of the reasons that we shut the business. Because we could have made a living just fine off the business. But what if the ministry doesn't work out? Then what happens? Well, we'll just go back into business. Nope. Shut the doors. Because I don't want that to be something that the devil uses against us to say, you know what? Things are getting a little tough. Let's go back in business so we can make sure that we don't have to pray our bills in, so we don't have to worry about, you know, people providing for us or people digging into their pockets to you know, pay your bills. We didn't want that temptation. The decision that we made is one direction. We're moving forward for Jesus Christ, and that's it. Verse 27 says, let me get back to where I was still in. Let's see. There we go. Verse 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear the cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Taking up your cross means that you're willing to do whatever it takes to sacrifice to serve the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It means death to your own will to follow Christ, and death to things that are dearest to your heart. You think about Abraham. Always wanted that child, didn't he? Always did. And then what did God tell him to do? To sacrifice him. Abraham gave up Isaac. But what did God do? He provided. Moses forsook all to follow Christ. Elisha forsook everything. The apostles Simon and Andrew were fishermen and left their nets. James and John left their father and their ship. And Matthew left a good paying job as a tax collector to follow Christ. Everything was taken from Job, and he still followed God. You think about Job's situation. You think every single thing in his life, his money, his family, his farms, his flock was taken from God. Even his wife was like, why don't you curse God? And he's like, I'm not doing it. And then what happened? He got it all back and a whole bunch more. Taking up the cross is not easy. But do you realize that when you put that cross on your back, do you realize there's people tied to that? What about you take it up and you're carrying that cross that Jesus has put on your shoulders? And there's people tied to that. What if you turn back? Well, then the people that you're supposed to witness to, and then you're supposed to give, and you're supposed to, there's people on the other end of that that's waiting for you to tell them the gospel. To missionaries that are waiting for you to have that hardship that you can say, you know what? This is too hard. The cross is too heavy right now. I'm not going to give to missions because it's putting me out. But there's people waiting for you and that need your support. You got to have a one direction decision and to know that without a shadow of a doubt, you're not turning back, that you're going to live with God. You're going to live for God with everything in your might. Every single thing in your might. A man wrote David Livingston. He said, "Mr. Livingston," he said, "I'm interested in joining you. Is there an easy way to get where you are?" David Livingston wrote back and said, "We are not looking for men who are looking for an easy way." He said, "We want men to join us who will make their own way if need be." So there's going to be time, and there's missionaries. Like, we're friends with Miss Stephanie Westco. Are you familiar with Miss Westco? They got a whole bunch of kids. They just finished their deputation. They went to Cameroon and wasn't there very long, and their husband was murdered. Murdered. They gave it all. They knew that there was a war going on, but they went. They went at all cost. What an awesome opportunity they had there in Cameroon. But you know, I can tell you that because their story was on the news, their story was all over newspapers, was all over everything. I know their testimony, they were able to share the gospel through what they did. And I'm sure that people were saved from what had happened with Mr. Westco. Their boys, they make these wooden plaques. And we had Miss Westco have her boys make us one. And it just says the Tacketts on it, but they would burn it and they put a nice coat of polyurethane on it. And I just had to have one from their boys. What an awesome, awesome thing that they're doing, because they're using their talents for the Lord, and I'm so thankful. And I wanted to encourage them to do that. But Miss Westco knows what it's like to sacrifice all. You know, people they could spit on you, they could throw rocks on you. Even if no one pats you on the back and says, "Good job," even if your family disowns you, you should still follow Christ at all cost. No matter what, think about what Christ has done for you. Do you realize if there was a door to hell and you were able to lift the door off of hell for just about 5 or 10 seconds, I guarantee you that it would change your life and how you live, because then you would finally realize what Christ has done for you. I think of my children. I would absolutely do anything for them. I'd run into a burning house. I'd step in front of a moving vehicle. I would do anything to save my kids. Anything. Now you think about that from your perspective. Think about your kids. Think about your family. Do you love Christ as much as you love your kids? Do you love Christ as much as you love your family? Do you love Christ as much as you love your money? How much do you truly love Christ? Because you realize God don't need nothing we got. He don't need nothing. He don't need your money. He don't need your time. He don't need your talents. Because God's God. And He could do whatever He wants. But He wants to bless you. And He wants to use you. And to be able to do that, you have to realize that nothing you have is yours. Nothing, that RV, that ain't ours. God gave that to us. And if somebody needs it worse than we do, it's theirs. This suit, somebody needs it, they can have it. Money, we got money and we don't have any money and we still give money. Why? Because it ain't ours. It ain't ours. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Sometimes it don't make sense about what we're supposed to do, just like I talked this morning. Sometimes it doesn't make sense when the Lord speaks to us about things. If we would just do what we're told and let God worry about the outcome, do you realize how much of a changed life that we would have? How much of a change? Just if God speaks to us and you just do it, Just do it. Don't worry about the outcome. Just do it. Your life would be completely changed, because then you would actually have to have a little bit of faith. You would have to trust in God that He's really going to provide for you. I'm going to tell you what. God has never failed us. Never failed us. And I know there's not a person in this room that God has ever failed. Ever. Our circumstances have never, I don't want to say never, but our circumstances, you know, sometimes haven't been easy. You know, Miranda and I have struggled a little bit, because in the beginning of our ministry, see, I'm a go-getter. And sometimes that means that I'm dragging people behind me. Even my family. And that caused some issues, because I was focused on one thing. And you know my biggest ministry? It's right there. If I don't focus on my ministry at home, then I don't have a ministry outside the home. But you know, I feel like I truly understood my purpose, and it's to be a father and a husband first. Then I could do everything else outside of that. Let me ask you, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from truly stepping out in faith and trusting God with everything in your life? With your money? With your calling? Because, you see, what's crazy is that in every generation, God calls enough people to evangelize the world. But where are they at? Why do we have churches annually that are closing down? Why do we have areas of the world that haven't even heard there's Coca-Cola there, but not the gospel. Why is that? It's because there's people just like in this church right now across America that God is speaking to, and they're scared plumb to death. They tuck their tail and they don't listen to the calling of the Lord. That's exactly what happens all over this country. People are scared plumb to death because they don't want to step out in faith. They're scared to death to let go of their material things, of the life that they have, because they like it. They don't want to do something that's outside of the box. Something they spent all these years in college and they have all these things, and they're like, well, you know what? Maybe when I retire, I'll listen to God. Maybe when my circumstances change, I'll listen to God. Why don't you listen to God right now? Listen to God now. If He's speaking to you about doing something for Him, then quit putting it off and do what He has you to do today. Right now. There's people that are dying and going to hell because we don't want to step out in faith and do what God wants us to do. We're going to have to give an account for that one day. If there's sin in your life that's holding you back from truly serving God, make it right today. Don't let it fester any longer, because until you deal with it, it ain't going to get any better. We'll talk about festering for just a minute. You familiar with that term? That's a good old country term right there. I work with wood all the time, so I'm going to talk about a splinter. You think about this, I'm going to compare it to sin. I build a lot of decks. Get a lot of splinters because I don't wear gloves. My hands are getting kind of soft. It's almost embarrassing now because we've been on deputation. I feel like I got girl hands. But you get working with wood, and you get a splinter inside of you. Kind of gets a little sore. But then, if you don't get it out, what happens? Well, the next day, it starts getting a little red on you. Then it gets a little bit more sore, don't it? Well, then what happens? Well, if you don't get it out, that's going to pus up on you. It's going to start festering. Well, now, if you'd have just got it out the day that it happened, instead of letting it build up, get all sore and pussed up, now you're going to have to dig in there and get it because it's already embedded. And you talk about hurting, it's going to hurt even worse now. Let's compare that to sin. Because see, if we don't deal with sin right when it happens, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to fester. It's going to stay in there. And when you finally decide to get it out, it's going to hurt worse then than when it first happened. Because you don't know what all is going to happen with your sin. You don't know how far the devil is going to take you with that sin. Now, if you get rid of it and wipe it away, then you're starting over. You got a fresh start. But if you let it fester, who's telling what's going to happen with it? Take up your cross and follow me, he says. Jesus can't give any more than what he's already given. Is his willingness to die for you enough for you to want to live for him? Think about that for just a second. Let's think about the last point. Counting the cost of service. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but in verses 28 through 33, it talks about counting the cost. I'm going to ask you, well, let's see here. There will be times that the Holy Spirit will let us do something that doesn't make sense. And in our eyes, it could never work. And I talked about that. Talked about that this morning. That's huge in living a Christian life. Because you cannot try to make sense of the things that God is doing. You absolutely can't. We don't have the capability in here in our minds to truly understand what God is doing. I remember the days right before I got saved. And I thought, I don't want to change. I don't want to go to church. I don't like those Christian people. Talked about that. But see, I was counting the cost. I was weighing the difference of living my secular worldly life or going to hell. Which one's more important? Well, then I finally realized that I didn't want to go to hell. Plain and simple. And then once I got saved, God started changing me. Now that I'm saved, Christ wants followers to be willing to give everything to him at all cost. That's each and every one of us. Everybody in here that has accepted Christ, he wants you to be all in. All in. All the time. With everything. Now, it's your choice. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. There's a lot of ifs in the Bible. If you do this, if you do that. Because he's given it up to you. He's already done everything. Everything's already been done at the cross. Everything has, if you follow Christ, then you can guarantee without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be taken care of for the rest of your life. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but he's going to take care of you. And he's going to use you in an awesome, awesome way. I remember when the Lord was working on my heart about serving full time. I'm not being called to be a pastor. I'm not a church planner. There's a lot of things that I'm not good at. I'm not a good reader. I almost didn't graduate high school. I'm not smart at all. I have to study a whole lot harder than probably most people do because, you know, I did a lot of drugs when I was growing up and it really did. It fried a lot of things in my head. But I don't let it stop me. We were told how hard it's going to be to raise support because of our ministry. We're a helps ministry. We're trying to raise a lot of money because of what we're trying to do. And if I let that stop me, and if I listen to the critics, you know what I'm doing? I'm counting the cost of our ministry. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called us to this ministry. And if I said, well, not that Pastor McLean would, but if he said, Brother Tackett, it's going to be kind of rough. You sure you want to do that? And if I let that influence, that negative influence come to me, then that means that I'm counting the cost of what God has called me to do. If God is speaking to you about giving more to missions, and I encourage you, do what God wants you to do about your giving with missions. Because you can give a wrong amount, and it's the amount that God hasn't told you to give. God will provide for you if you seek Him, and He confirms with you exactly what you're supposed to give. But if, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is speaking to your heart about keeping the same or increasing, and you're saying, now wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, then you're counting the cost of picking up your cross and following Christ. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. When I knew that God is in control of all things and He wants us to stand the test so that He can be glorified, I consider that an honor to assist lifting up Christ for the world to see. And I hope that you see the same thing. You do the same thing, that you live the same way. Because people look at you and they see you and they know that you're a Christian and they're looking to see if God is blessing you or not. Without a shadow of a doubt, God can see what is happening, or people can see what God is doing in our lives. You know how awesome it was to send out our prayer letter and to say, hey, we're praying about an RV, and then send out another letter and say, hey, God paid it off. How awesome is that? That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Where are you at today? Do you love Christ today? Do you? Think about that. Have you changed direction and picked up your cross to follow Christ? Is where you're headed in your Christian walk, is it one direction? Or are you kind of wibbly wobbly? And are you easily conformed to the world? And are you easily distracted by things around you? Or do you have one focus? Do you have the focus of serving and honoring Christ with every single cell in your body, every single cent in your bank account, every single minute that's in the day? Where are you at today? Let me ask you one last question. Are you willing to serve Christ at all cost? That's all I've got. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, and I pray that there's decisions that are made here tonight. Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody in here, God, that hasn't completely surrendered to you. God, that hasn't completely taken up their cross, that hasn't completely decided that what you've done for them is enough for them to turn their life over to you. God, and I pray that tonight that decisions be made, that people are willing to realize what you've done for them and willing to at all cost do anything that you would have for them to do. God, I pray that if there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would not leave here tonight, Lord, without speaking to someone about salvation and about how to go to heaven. And God, I do pray that you just be with us tonight during the invitation. Lord, we thank you so much and love you. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.